So waiting on the Lord is to lie in wait. It's anything but sitting back and doing nothing. It's actually positioning myself for what God's about to do. I want to talk to you about three words that have been unfortunately redefined by Christian culture instead of kingdom culture. They're words that are biblical terms, but when they're not understood according to biblical definition, we end up creating a culture that lowers our standard of living to create explanations for the absence of breakthrough instead of launching us into pursuing greater breakthrough. The church often creates theology around what didn't happen instead of what the scripture says did happen. The Pool of Bethesda, great example. History tells us there's probably 900 to 1,000 people there. Jesus healed one person. The Bible celebrates the healing of the one. But if it were to happen today, all the interviewers would be talking to the 900 that didn't get healed. How did it feel for Jesus to walk past you? And theology would be created around what didn't happen. So I want to talk to you about these four words, counting the word joy, that we're going to look at in chapter 8. But three words that set us up for that. So the first one is the word hope. We talked about it last week. I spoke last week about the issue of hope, the nature of hope, the requirement for me to maintain a heart of hope. The word hope in our culture is, it's basically a wish. Man, I wish that would happen, or I hope that happens. It's like, you know, if things really work good, maybe this will come about. And that's not the biblical word hope. The biblical word hope actually means the joyful anticipation of good. Hope gives you permission to enjoy the emotional benefits of an answered prayer before it ever happens. That was better than your response. That was a lot better. Hope gives us permission to experience the joy of a breakthrough before the breakthrough comes. It's too late. You missed your chance. The joyful anticipation of good. Actually, my favorite definition, watching my wife's family's Christmas time. Remember the video 8 cameras, and some of you old people remember, with the spotlights that could peel paint on the wall. They were so hot and bright. Yeah. And my father-in-law would set up the camera, and Benny and my wife and her siblings would be at the end of the hall, just jumping up and down on Christmas morning, waiting for them to say Merry Christmas. And as soon as he said Merry Christmas, he's got the camera set. As soon as he said Merry Christmas, they would come running down that hall, turn around that corner, dive in into the Christmas tree, and begin to open gifts. That thing at the end of the hall, that's hope. That bouncing up and down back there, that's the best definition I know of hope. Yeah, that's good. They know. They don't know what there is. They just know it's good. And that's the biblical word hope. Hope is something that I can set myself up to increase in my life. I talked about it last week. I don't want to repeat that. But I can't create faith, but I can engage with God in a way that builds hope. And hope is the atmosphere that faith grows in. Hope would be like the soil in a pot, and then you plant the seed of faith, and it grows in that atmosphere of hope. And hope is the expectation of good is something that actually should drive the heart, the thought, the prayers of every believer. What would happen if we prayed in expectation of good and not just the shot in the dark hoping something will happen? The second word that I want to, I was ready to talk about this Nehemiah thing this morning, first service, and I started thinking about all these words that are so common for us, but they've, because they're misunderstood, they've created a wrong culture in how we think and do life. And so I'm just trying to kind of reset due north again. So the second word is the word to wait. Wait on the Lord. For most of us, the word waiting on the Lord means to sit down and do nothing and make room for him to do something. He promised, you know, I hear people say, I hear leaders say, well, God knows we want revival. He knows where our address is if it's his will. If that thought ever comes to mind, slap yourself or ask your friend to do it, because they'll gladly do it. Is anybody else glad the wise men didn't stay in the Middle East, but they actually traveled towards something? They were in pursuit of something. The word wait on the Lord, especially like Psalms 37, waiting on the Lord, actually means to lie in wait. To lie in wait, like in setting up an ambush. It is reducing my options, refining my focus, because I'm about to enter a God moment and I don't want to miss it. That's what waiting on the Lord is. I'm a deer hunter. If you don't like that, just pretend I take pictures. Because all my hunts end with pictures. I would never go down to Mount Shasta Mall to hunt deer. There's not any there. The whole point in laying in wait is to discover where he's at. You say, well, God is everywhere. Yeah, but I watched in the early 90s as people would travel from all over the world because they heard a rumor God was moving powerfully in Toronto. Entire plane loads of people from England would be loaded with people just going because they heard God was doing something. One of the greatest acts of arrogance in the life of a believer is to sit back, do nothing, and say, if God wants me to have it, he knows where I'm at. Absolute arrogance. It's normal to hunt. Pursue. I'm liberally using my favorite words here. But you get the point. You position yourself with a refined focus for a potential God moment, because they don't all come with blazing horns and angelic whatever. Most of the God moments that change people's lives, most of them, I think, start very subtly. So waiting on the Lord is to lie in wait. It's anything but sitting back and doing nothing. It's actually positioning myself for what God's about to do. The third word is the word patience. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you want to increase in patience, because you know what that'll do. You already know. But here's my friend Joe McIntyre. He's home with the Lord now. But he did this word study. He has a number of books, and are wonderful books. But he took an old book from many, many, many years ago called Throne Life, and he kind of brought it up to date through his own experience. Tremendous book. But in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, let me read these two verses for you. It said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now listen to this. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Anybody want the perfect, complete, lacking nothing realm? Okay, it's on the other side of the door called patience. And it's literally going through that realm, which is a fruit of the Spirit, which means it's an evidence of his working in a person. Now, here's what I never understood is how the word is actually translated, what it actually means. Patience in our world is much more of a passive toleration of things we don't like. Amen, Bill. Good point. All right. The word translated patience two times in these verses is defined as independent, unyielding, defiant perseverance in the face of aggressive misfortune, and thus to a kind of courageousness. In case you were daydreaming, let me read this to you again. This is patience. Now, this is different than the passive toleration of things we don't like. Independent, many of you qualify already right there, is very patient. That was a joke. Unyielding. Here's my favorite part. Defiant perseverance in the face of aggressive misfortune and thus to a kind of courageousness. What is patience? It's the intolerance of the enemy's work to kill, steal, and destroy. And it provokes and builds in us a kind of courageousness that just says, enough. That's patience. That's patience.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.